Radio, the transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy, a male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
You know, one of the favourite things that I like about this podcast is that I catch up with old radio friends, and this guy I haven't spoken to in a very long time. Could be like 20 years almost. I don't know. Let's catch up with Moffy from Triple M Coffs Harbour. Hello, Moffy. How are you, mate?
Bevo the chemist. How are you, sir?
Yeah, going all right, Moff. I'm just trying to work out, when was the last time we actually sat in the same building as each other and had a conversation? It was many years ago, 2001, maybe?
It would have been about 2002, because we worked together up until, or maybe even 2003. We worked up, worked together at Triple M in Brisbane, and then yeah. I went to Bundaberg, and you did come and visit.
Yeah.
That's right.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that was the last of it. Snobbed me. Never heard from you again.
Well, you've kind of got your own place now. It's Moff's Harbour. No one calls it Coffs Harbour anymore. Bloody brilliant, if you ask me. The concept of Moff's Harbour, you just thought of it instantly, or it just was a thing that kind of progressed?
You know what? I don't know. It just kind of happened. There were two things when I spoke to Mickey Marr, because I'd been at Grand Broadcasters basically up until I arrived here, and Mickey said to me, have you thought, what about Coffs Harbour? We're looking for someone to do breakfast. I went, yeah. Because the two things I thought was, you know, it's close to the beach and it's only probably a 5-hour drive back home to Brisbane. And so that's how that kind of came about. And then two things kind of happened was the thought of Moff's Harbour and then doing a promotion called Coffee with Moffy. So we've basically, both of those things have been rolled out various times and have been successful.
Wow. The beginnings for young Moffy getting into radio. Let's start there. What was it? Where was it?
It was actually at the Broncos. So I sent a letter to a guy called Russell Edwards. His brother Shane Edwards was the Broncos. I think he was the CEO at the time, or something like that. And I just said, look, I want to get into radio. Is there a chance to maybe go and see what the ground announcer does at the Broncos? At the time, they were at QE2, the old stadium, ANZ. And I got a note back saying, yeah, sure, come along to this game. Here's the passes. A guy called Campo will be the guy that you'll be sitting with. And so I rocked up, and it was really, I just wanted to be in the media box to, you know, because you had Ray Warren and everyone on one side and all the journos and stuff, and I love that. And so I went along there, and then I was only probably, I think, about maybe 15 at the time, and Campo went, okay, mate, here you go, you can do these ones. And I went, huh? And so all of a sudden, I from that point, for the next couple of years, was doing all the pre-match ground announcing for the Broncos. And from there, I made contact with Alex Dean the following year, and Dean Kesby, and it was actually Brendan Wood, who at the time was the Bronco was the B105 Morning Crews producer EP, and he went, look, we've got to get you into to learn how to panel. So that's how it all started at Bowen Hills at B105, learning how to panel. I'd go in on a Sunday afternoon, and Dino would open the door and let me in, and you just play around. And then they moved to the new studios at North Quay, and so I learned how to use the new desks there, and they were looking for panel operators at Triple M when they moved in there, and so I sent a tape, which I actually did in my lounge room, of me mocking up a shift on Triple M, and sent that to Fitzy, and got a job.
Yeah, yeah, I think we crossed paths. You're paddling, what was it, that rock show that Jonesy was doing?
Planet Rock. That's right. Planet Rock with Jonesy.
Yes. And
they used to have a, it was like the Rock Line or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember being bored one night, so I called the Rock Line and left a message about Jonesy, and I can't even remember. It was something smart ass that I said on it.
Not from you, surely not.
No. And they played it the following week, which shocked me a little bit. bit when you hear my audio, and he took the piss out of me about something anyway.
Yeah.
But that was exciting.
You talk about being a smartass and saying stuff like that. I still remember the time when you were panelling an OB for me and you recorded me and said, no, I'm not recording this, and you end up using it later on air for something. Oh, I think I was singing or something like that. You totally took the mickey out of me. It was hilarious.
I think I did have audio of you singing Imitation of Life by
That's
REM
what it was. Yeah, caught me up being an REM fan right there and then. Might have been from the outside broadcast at the Ecker or something like that. I don't know.
How good were they?
Yeah, they were fun. I remember those days very well. So from Triple M Brisbane, where did the journey continue? It was Bundy, was it?
Yeah, my first full-time job in Bundaberg, and I was offered the job. It was to do nights, and so I arrived there, and, it was the first time as a 19-year-old I'd never, ever moved out of home. In fact, the first time I ever had to cook or do washing was when I moved to Bundaberg. And so I would do that in the morning and then go, okay, well, what else do I do? So I'd be in at the office really, really early, not go on air till 6 o'clock at night. So would learn everything from doing music and stuff like that. So while I was there in that space of time, I went from doing nights to drive to, breakfast, all different shifts and stuff, music director, to really sort of build that skill set, I guess. And then from there went to South Australia, to Port Augusta. At the time, the station had only been on air for, I think, 6 months, Magic FM, and did breakfast and then back to Ipswich to River 949, where I was for 5.5 years and did breakfast with a guy called Wayne Roberts. So that was an amazing experience.
Yeah, talk about that, because Wayne P. Roberts is a bit of an icon in Brisbane radio. He's he certainly knows how to make a scene and stunts and get people talking. He's a bit of a stirrer.
Look, it was good because it was one of those shows, and I love it because it's the kind of show I get to do now too, where you essentially just take the piss. But you get your callers on there and just chat to people. And one of the things that I loved there was it was one of those markets where we had calls from all over the place, Toowoomba, Laidley, the Lockyer Valley, all the way to parts of Brisbane, because he was such an icon in that southeast Queensland and Brisbane market too. But you could talk to someone, and here in Coffs it's similar. You talk to someone at the beach or in the city or whatever. Your next caller could be someone on a dairy farm that's also listening in your market. So it's just such a different landscape as well. And it was a good sort of grounding, I guess, to be able to work out how to push callers and how to push the boundary a little bit and just have fun with everything.
Stuff you probably wouldn't get away with today, I would imagine, seeing, things get posted on social media and the minority have such a large voice. Do you find that's the case in a lot of things that is held back on radio these days because of that?
Well, it comes back to the expectation of the actual listener. I mean, if your listeners expect that, well, they're not going to really be too shocked.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with, for example, Kyle and Jackie O. They're listeners, that's what they expect. So, I think the best thing is to have fun with it and just push as hard as you can.
River 949 with Wayne Poo Roberts. It came to an end 5 years later. Where did you end up from there?
So then I went down to Bega as content director for Grant Broadcasters for 2EC and Power FM. I was there for 3.5 years. And again, it was great because it was, as well as that CD role, you were doing everything. So I could be, filling in. I purposely never put myself on air because it allowed me then to be able to fill in everywhere, whether it was on the stations or doing news or whatever. And then from there went to Nowra for a year as content director, and then to Moffs Harbour.
Moffs Harbour, I love it. Really rings true. And you just told the story earlier about how that all came about. But you had an interesting journey because you started at 2CS and it got rebranded later on to Triple M. The name Triple M, it's so iconic in Australian radio, and you've got to work there again in a regional town. What was the transition like from 2CS to Triple M?
You know, for us, it was great because a lot of people and a lot of clients and stuff in particular were saying that it was almost like the station had grown up. It had matured a little. So it had been 2CS and then 2CS FM and then obviously the Triple M rebrand. And I guess the biggest thing for us was to make sure that we still showed how local we were. So it's all about getting out in the community and making sure that, you know, we're chatting to the people that live here and talking about the place and stuff that's going on around the place. And so it worked out really well, actually, the timing for us, because the day that we did the relaunch at, I think it was 8 o'clock on the 15th of December, we had that relaunch in the morning, and then that afternoon we were broadcasting from the Coffs International Stadium here, or as I like to now call it, Elton John Arena.
Hey!
Because we had the cricket playing here. It was, I think, the women's test, I think, from memory. And so it allowed us to be able to be out and about on day one to prove that, you know what, nothing has changed apart from the name and the colours. And so it really, really was great timing for us and just making sure that we were still super local.
There's been a lot of people start their careers in Coffs Harbour on the radio. Can you think of a couple that come to mind that have gone on to bigger and better things?
Well, Jackie Kosolke, Matt DeGroote, a whole bunch of them actually started at, well, not so much, I think, 2CS, but 2CHY, which is one of the youth stations here, because they used to have a program where they would actually, it was part of your curriculum at school.
Oh, right.
Where you would go. It was started by a guy involved with Salvation Army, and it was just a really great program. And so a lot of them went on to bigger things as well. Melinda Pavey, who's actually the water minister and the member for Oxley here, is a journalist, is her background, and was actually one of the journalists here at 2CS back in the day as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and Richard Munk, I remember, was my very first rejection letter as I was applying for jobs. And he became my friend later in life working at WSFM and came along to my wedding and all the rest of it. So it's amazing how you do the full circle in radio, that's for sure.
Did he tell you why you got the rejection letter? Or?
Oh, he was very nice about it. No, he didn't remember me because he'd obviously rejected so many people. So anyway, it goes a full circle. Let's talk about your obsession with country music, Moffy, and how you've become mates with one of your, I guess, biggest aspirations in country music. That would be Lee Kernaghan.
Mate, they're all just normal people. I mean, and you know, this is the thing. I've always, growing up as a kid, my auntie and uncle and mum and dad and stuff would listen to country music, and we'd go to the country music festival when they used to have it in Emerald, and it was something that I've just grown up to love. And then working in this industry and I guess working in particular in regional markets, you start to get to meet and have a lot more to do with the different artists and stuff. And so people like Lee Kernaghan and Adam Harvey and Graeme Connors as well, who are just, they're amazing songwriters, they're amazing artists, but they're just great people as well.
And being in radio as long as you have and, you know, being that boy that wanted to be on the radio, who are your idols, I guess you could say, the people you still look up to or did look up to when you were getting into radio?
Probably, I mean, Wayne Roberts, obviously, but Ian Skippin's the other one too. You know, there's something that I always think about is when you're talking about places and landmarks and things, and it was something that he was great at doing too, and Wayne was great at doing, and it's the example I often talk about, and people, unless you know Brisbane, you'd have no idea what I'm talking about, but there's a stretch as you go along Gympie Road. I did get pulled over once for a speeding fine there, but as you go up over the hill, you got all the car yards on your right hand side, but then just a Kedron, and you've got the Weston's Biscuit Factory. And it's one place that I often think about, it is that, you know, rather than saying, you know, just going along Gympie Road at Kedron, point out the icons. So if you're going along Milton Road past the 4X Brewery or something like that, and it's something that in commercial radio you can do. A couple of years ago when I was still in Ipswich, I would fill in every now and then with ATN to do traffic and stuff. And one of the things I noticed from that too was on the ABC they can't do that. So, for example, you would have to say, you know, the RNA showgrounds, you'd have to say the tunnel. You couldn't say the tunnel under the Ecker because the Ecker is a commercial brand.
Yep.
Milton Road, you can't say next to the 4X Brewery because it's a commercial brand. And it's something that I guess we can do because we're not so uptight about that. To be able to describe those local icons and paint that picture even more in people's heads.
You've been a Coffs Harbour local for quite a bit of time now. What do you love about the area, and what would you do to sell Coffs Harbour to the rest of Australia wanting to, you know, travel eventually once all the COVID restrictions have lifted?
Oh, we've got a big banana. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, it's, Havana Brown released some song about it. I don't know if it was about that one.
It's concrete.
Yeah.
Just for those that wanted to know, it's not fiberglass, it's concrete. We found that out the hard way. But basically, mate, it's just such a nice spot. I mean, you've got the, like I said, you've got the beach. Where I live at the jetty, I'm literally 500 metres, if that, 300 metres from restaurants and the beach and the harbour and the marina. And then jump in the car and go 10 minutes the other direction, and you're driving out amongst dairy farms and cattle and just all this farmland and stuff, and it's just an amazing spot. We've got so many people that, I mean, Russell Crowe lives at Narna Glen, which is just probably, what, 15 minutes or so from here, where you've got this amazing winery as well, and it's such a relaxing place, and the people are lovely and friendly, and everything that you need is here, and so yeah, move here, and then that way I'll have more listeners too.
let's talk about COVID and what a shit year it's been. 2020. Looking back on all the cutbacks in radio, is it a bit of a daunting feeling working in radio when budgets are tightening and you know jobs are being lost and you're still on air, but you're kind of getting a little bit nervous about the future?
You know, it was the first time that something's happened where, you know, whether it's floods or fires or whatever, a big national story or a big story that usually you're the one that's reporting on it, not looking at it going, oh, we could be affected in this as well. Because, you know, we had late last year, we had fires and stuff around this area, this time last year, actually. And then just after that, we had some flooding and stuff. And a lot of businesses were doing it tough locally. And a lot of businesses were having to put staff off. And, you know, the advertising dollar was down because of that as well. But at the same time, you kind of went, well, you still need to be broadcasting and things like that. And then COVID hit. And it was all media, not just radio, but all media as well as normal businesses where really no one was safe. And so it was a little nervous. I was a little nervous at the time, but, you know, everything panned out in the end and, you know, everything will pan out in the end with everything. So, I sometimes look at stuff and don't work yourself up too much because it'll all work itself out.
And with the support of local businesses, were you doing things to basically lift the spirits and help people spend local to get local business back on track?
Yeah, I mean, look, we had a lot of local businesses who had to rethink their strategies. With, for example, we've got a place called Triple S Barbecue Barn, very nice ribs and steak. There's another reason to come to Coffs Harbour. But this is just a family business, and because they couldn't open because they're a restaurant, so they were doing takeaways and deliveries, and so all their staff, they were able to keep on. And rather than serving and waiting on people in the restaurant, they were taking orders and they were driving them out to people's houses and delivering them and stuff like that. And finding a lot of businesses were having to find new ways to be able to survive and keep going. And we did one initiative for here and also Port Macquarie called the Big Friday Takeaway. And essentially what it was in the lead-up weeks or so, 2 weeks, saying to people, you know, next Friday, these are the places that are going to be open. They'll do takeaway. Go and give them a crack. And if it's just on that one night or that day for lunch or whatever, go and get takeaway and go and help them out. And so we did that because there was no football, obviously, on at the time. I came back in and was broadcasting live from 6 to 8 as well. And just taking calls from people going, hey, where did you try tonight and stuff like that. And it was a way for local businesses to plug their business and us plug the business for them and try and see if we can get some extra business for them as well.
Moffy from Moff's Harbour, thank you so much for chatting to us on the Radio Fanboy podcast. It's been fun.
No worries at all. If you want to send me your address, I'll send you a Moff's Harbour sticker.
The Radio Fanboy Podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.